The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or three-pointer. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
It is the Big Shot Bob Pod, week 28, and man, it's been a week of NBA free agency, and we have a lot of it to get to. We're going to do that in a minute. If you like the show, by the way, please rate and review us. Leave us a review on iTunes. That helps tremendously. And of course, you can always email us, BigShotBobPod@gmail.com. That's B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. And taped to his chair like an unruly Frontier Airlines passenger is seven-time NBA champion Robert Ory.
was the best.
Well, see, here's the thing. You know, I saw a lot of people because, you know, they suspended that crew.
Yeah, they did.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, what the hell else you want them to do after he sent up there being violent? You just want him to start swinging on people and see how many people he can knock out before they land?
Hey. You got to restrain him somehow. They just taped him to his seat.
Yeah.
You taped him to a seat. Good
he
for you.
He got up easy.
Yeah, he did. You know, you should have.
You know what that reminded me of, though, when I saw that?
What's that?
It reminded me of when
you got taped to the chair.
What did it remind you of? Go ahead.
The Kobe stopper. I can't think of his name. Reuben Patterson. He called himself the Kobe stopper, right? So he was a rookie with us in L.A. He wouldn't do anything we told him to do. He was trying to just be, I ain't doing that. You know, I ain't going to just treat me like that. So he was like, okay. So we get to Sacramento, and he's talking all this trash. So Shaq grabs him, and we had told Rudy, our equipment manager, to bring some tape. So he taped his ass up, right, and put him on a luggage cart, put him on an elevator, and just hit all the buttons and let him ride up and down the elevator. This little old lady opens the door, and she sees him tape. She goes, ooh.
Oh, but that's awesome.
That's all I could think about when I saw this guy taped to the chair. I'm like, okay, that reminds me of Reuben Patterson. You want to talk all this shit, right?
We got something elevator. For
you. Yeah, because they talked about he was, you know, he's worth $2 million. Number one, if your folks were $2 million, why are you flying Frontier? Number one, because I would say if you're gonna at least fly Delta, you'd be sitting in first class. Your folks were $2 million. Number two, all the inappropriate touching flight attendants and everything, bro. You lucky you weren't knocked out cold and yes. taped to the seat.
Yeah. You know the key word there? He was saying, my parents are worth $2 million.
Yeah, I ain't worth shit, but you my ain't parents worth shit. Are worth $2 million.
So this is why your ass is sitting back in the corner drinking, and because your parents probably done disowned your ass. That's why.
And you know what? No disrespect to his parents. They're probably very hardworking people. $2 million isn't like, you know, I'm worth, you know, Shaq money, or you know what I mean? Like, $2 million is respectable, but that's not something you go stumping around in front of.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it should get you by here and there, but this ain't 1980. This is 2021.
I'm worth $2 million in 1947. You might as well own a country.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah.
We're back, Mortable. We're back.
Yes, trading places. The Duke boys. Love the Duke brothers. Well, I mean, it's man, I closed my laptop last week after posting last week's show. And I was like, man, that was a good show. I think we covered everything. And I opened Twitter, Westbrook to the Lakers. I was like, I just posted the show. You've got to be kidding me. So I guess we'll start with the Lake show because, my goodness. Westbrook was kind of the first domino to fall. Then it was Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza. They re-signed Tucker to a 3-year deal. Before we get into all the logistics of this, how do you feel about the Westbrook move, and how do you feel about what the Lakers did kind of overall?
Yeah, you know, I've always been a huge Westbrook fan, because when you got a guy who has a motor like that, who doesn't get tired, and the other thing we don't talk about, he hardly ever gets hurt unless Patrick Beverley runs into his knee on purpose. You know, he never gets hurt.
True.
So he's been a very durable guy, and I like that because when you got LeBron who's going to have to take some time off, and AD if he has, you know, get hurt. So you need a guy like Westbrook who can control a game. He can get up and down. He can make people around him better. That's the key because, you know, he's a walking triple-double. I'm going to be excited to foresee him and LeBron on the court and who fights for assists, you know, because it's going to be rough out there. But I am disappointed that they didn't get Buddy Hield. I think he'd have been a great addition to the team. I figured they could have still worked in a some kind of trade to get Buddy Hield and get him on a team because they need a shooter like Hield. He's one of the best shooters that are not talked about in this league. And think about it. You got LeBron penetrating. You got Westbrook penetrating. You kick it out to Buddy Hield, who can knock it down. You know, Wayne Ellington, you know, been there, done that. You know, and, you know, the Monk, Malik Monk is not a three-point shooter. You know, it's going to be very difficult because we always talk about how everybody needs three-point shooters. I just don't see, you know, even Bazemore, I don't see the Lakers with a someone who scares me from the three-point line.
Well, I'll say this. You look at Malik Monk, Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, the Lakers got Kendrick Nunn on a two-year deal with an option for the second year. You look at a lot of these guys' three-point percentage last year, all of them shot either right under 40% or right at 40%, you know, depending on how many, you know, three-point attempts they took a game last year. So the Lakers, based off their last year's shooting percentage, they got some shooting. Now, when they don that Lakers jersey, sometimes, and, you know, went through this with Danny Green. Danny Green can shoot until you put on that Lakers jersey. He couldn't play no defense. He couldn't shoot. He couldn't sell hot dogs. He couldn't sell popcorn. They shipped him out on the first thing smoke. He was embarrassing in a Lakers jersey. Oh, he just got 2 year 20 to re-sign with Philly. Philly, that's y'all problem. But anywho, they have shooting based on the numbers of last year. Now, how that operates and turns into reality once you tip off this season, hey, that's another story. But, hey, if you can get Dennis Schroeder to sign an offer, you can sign and trade him to Sacramento and get Buddy Hield. But Dennis Schroeder, he's not doing that.
Yeah, for me, I never go by the numbers because numbers can be tricky, especially when you're playing with a team, let's say Detroit. You're going to get more shots than you are you're going to get with the Lakers.
Right.
You have to be a specialist, and you have to say, okay, I'm only going to get four shots. I got to make two of these count.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen in a Laker uniform. You know, these guys, you think about it, you got AD, you got LeBron, you got Westbrook. You're going to be like that little grunt puppy trying to get in there and get some of your mama's milk off the titty. And they ain't going to be able to get in there.
Right.
And that's why I said you need a specialist that will say, okay, because guys always respect other players that have some tenures, some kind of status, you know, and I'm not trying to disrespect those other guys, but they have no status where, oh, I'm going to come down, I'm going to kick it to Malik Monk. Oh, I'm going to kick it to Wayne Ellington. No, unless you come out from the jump in the gate and you show these guys, yo, man, I deserve to be here. I'm just not a filler. I'm going to be the guy who's going to knock down threes on a consistent basis. I'm going to be like Joe Harris is for the Brooklyn. Think about it. He's not the big three. But the big three rely on him to knock down threes and make their game easier.
Yeah, Frank Vogel's going to have a really interesting time staggering minutes, finding out what the best lineup and what the best look is. Because, look, obviously your focal point is Bron and AD. But because Bron is another year, will be another year older in this season, I think in December, and AD, you know, he may have a hangnail one day and miss 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to be able to stagger these things. And this is where Westbrook comes in. Look, I get it.
Yes.
There are going to be buildings being built in downtown L.A. because of the bricks that he's going to throw up from three. And we get that. But his ability to orchestrate an offense when LeBron is either on the floor or not, and his ability to attack and bring that energy, I think that's the other scorer and the other dynamic force that the Lakers are looking for. So I think it works out. But it's going to be interesting to look at. And I'm happy the way that the Lakers have and Rob Pelinka have built this thing out.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how.
But either,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just saying I'm anxious to see how LeBron and Westbrook find a way to sort of coexist with the games they play.
Yeah.
Because they both want the ball.
You know, for me, I'm since I do the Laker television, and we had a couple of rough years there. And you notice, B, where the Lakers kept getting, you know, lottery pick. And now you look at this Lakers squad. I know AD is a new young cornerstone. I think AD is only 28.
27, yeah.
But 27, 28.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 years, it's going to be rough because all that age is going to age out. And so now we got a rebuilding situation. And I know it's a Laker uniform and it's easy to bring guys to this team, but I look at this era, and I look at the way guys are trying to play with friends. I don't ever hear about who AD friend is. His AD friend is Westbrook. He's on the team. AD's friend is LeBron. He's on the team.
Yeah.
Who are you going to bring in now that's going to be, you know, to carry the torch? Because the Lakers, they don't like losing. They don't like being in the lottery. So I'm just worried about down the line now that they brought all these former Lakers back.
Yeah.
Because I called up Miss Buss. Yo, I'm a former Laker. Let me get some of that. Let me get a 1-year contract.
You see what Chris Paul did? Come on. Chris Paul can sign that contract. Robert Horry can sign that contract.
I'm a former Laker. Let me get some of that.
This is not a 2000 to 2002 reunion. This is a 2013 to 2018 reunion.
No, it can be. It can be. To your note there about age, for what it's worth, Carmelo's 37, LeBron's 36, Trevor Ariza's 36, Marcus Gasol's 36. Dwight Howard turns 36 in December. Wayne Ellington's 33. Bazemore's 32. And Westbrook is 32. Your whole roster is 32 and up.
And then you got the younger guys.
Tucker, some of the younger guys. Yeah, Monk and stuff like that. But
so when you do the average age,
it's the oldest team.
Oh, it's 31. It's the oldest team ever. I was like, no, you can't do that. Take THT out of that, and then
that
give
average
the average
is like
age.
34. THT goes up like 3 years.
He can't go in the store and buy some alcohol, man. Yeah. So you got to take him out there. And then I want to see what the average age is. Yeah. So
he's pulling the curve down. He's pulling the curve way down.
It's going to be rough.
And LeBron, by the way, not happy about the comments that people have been making about the team's age from LeBron. And by the way, posted this, I think, on his Instagram and then took it down within a day.
Yes.
Quote, keep talking about my squad, our personal ages, the way he plays. He stays injured. We're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please. Do it, please. Keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. So he's none too happy.
Hey, look. Look, hey, Big Shot, this is what I've heard. I've heard them called the LARP Lakers.
Yeah, I love that.
I've heard them called the Life Alert Lakers.
I like that.
I've heard that they're going to be sponsored by Gold Bond. Shout out to Shaq. Icy Hot. I've seen memes of like two older white women in a senior citizen home. That's what the Lakers going to look like, fighting, getting up and just. I've seen it all.
I seen it too. It's been funny, but I ain't gonna lie. It makes good entertainment. It's funny, but I hope they prove them wrong so I can have something to talk about and so we can win another Emmy.
Exactly. Well, you know what, too, though? I don't know. See, my thing with that comment from LeBron, I thought it was great. I love that stuff. Go ahead.
Too.
Tell everybody. F you. Talk about all you want. But then he pulls it down, and I'm like, all right, well, obviously you got some kickback on it, but
don't run from it.
You are who you are. You know?
Yeah, my whole thing is the team could be average 21 years. You still say that because that's what you want. You want people to talk about you. You want people to doubt you. So you go out and then you say, ha-ha.
Bulletin board, baby. Put it on the bulletin board.
But see, here's the thing. And outside of the age, and I know everybody wants to talk about the age and how old they are, but on the plus side, it's really good to have grown-ups on your team, guys who come in and know their role instead of guys coming in and you have to convince them of their role. Like, everybody understands coming in. If you're, you know, they're in there 33, 34, 35 years old, you kind of know your role in this league and what you're about. They're not trying to come in and do more than what they need to do or more than what they're asked to do. We understand whose team it is. We're coming in here to play our role so we can help them get a ring. And that's the difference when you have older guys on your squad.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can teach. You got, you know, Malik Monk, who's been a lottery pick, been one of these guys that has been, you know, has a lot of potential. This is going to be good for him. Yeah. It's going to be good for THT to also have someone in practice that he can go up against and, you know, get better. And then you got a guy like Nunn. Think about it. For the first 2 months of the season, down in Miami, Nunn was like the man, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, he go into that funk and they fall out of love with him and whatever happened. So you still got a good player in Kendrick. So I'm excited to see the mixture of the youth with the age group.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Have you ever had a more awkward moment in all your life than Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond trying to hug it out in the Philly locker room with Embiid giving the camera behind him this look of like, who let this fool in the building? Like, who? I told y'all to call me when he got here. I would come out to him and y'all let him in here? Okay, no, hug it out. Hug it out. Hug it out. Okay.
That's funny, man. The look on his face was a look of disgust. I'm not even gonna lie.
So
it's like I said, either one of them farted and he smelled it or something. Because if you see how he looking, like, man, I got to save face. I just got rid of one big, and I got to bring in another big that I've trolled so much on social media, talked so bad. I got real estate in his head. Now I got to, you know, play with this guy. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because I guarantee you they will get into a fight in one of these practices. But so see, we got to get Sam back on the show for that.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You know, this is why social media is so funny. Everything comes back full circle. So that tweet was sent out like 2018.
It was like 2017.
Yeah. And then the fact that, you know, 3-4 years later, now this guy's in your locker room and he's a teammate. Now you look at it like, okay, are you going to put this behind you because it was 3-4 years ago? Or is there something still there? That's the funny part about this. Stuff comes full circle.
I love it. I love it so much. I just love there's something just so palpable about the awkward anxiety of the, hey, I know that we talk shit about each other constantly and I'd sooner, you know, hit you with a car than pee on you, but hey, hell, you know, I'll get out. Come on, let's not get out. Did you ever have to play with somebody that you really weren't?
I've been very fortunate that I have. I know when I first, because when I went to the Lakers, there was nobody on the Lakers that I really had an issue with. It was when I went to the Suns, I didn't like any of those dudes. But, you know, I take that back. I love Wayne
Matisse. I was going to say, the guys on the team, or was it just Danny? Because, I mean, obviously we talked about Danny at length. So
It was Danny and like two or three other guys on that team that I didn't like. But it was what it was. But the most awkward situation for me was, you know, signing with the Spurs after all the history that the Lakers had versus the Spurs, knocking the Spurs out, the Spurs knocking us out, and then having to go play with them and understanding the battles that me and Tim had to have going against each other. And all of a sudden you playing with this guy, and Tim ain't the friendliest dude. He ain't the guy. He ain't the guy that says, hey, man, welcome to the team. He gives you that little look and moves on. And so that was the awkward moment. But what really made me feel like a damn fool was, you know, the first game of the year, they're getting their rings and they had eliminated us. I'm sitting there watching them get their rings. I'm like, this is some bullshit here, boy. This situation don't feel good.
I don't like this. And
we don't win it that year, but we win it the next year in 2005. So, okay, now this is how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be getting the ring.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to watch somebody else get it.
Exactly. That's the only awkward situation I have, you know, coming into the league, because I've been very fortunate to only play for, I was about to say four teams, but
yeah.
I never had any animosity towards any players.
Well, Philly got bigger problems than Drummond. They got much bigger problems this offseason than Drummond and Embiid. And we know what problems we're talking about.
They got a ghost in the locker room. Stories this week, Ben Simmons will not return anybody's calls, anybody's texts. Everything with Ben Simmons is now being handled through Rich Paul.
Please refer to my agent.
Yeah. I mean, nobody. Nobody has heard from Ben. No one's talked to him. He hasn't returned anybody's phone calls.
But Rob, is this surprising? If you're Ben Simmons and you're in his shoes and you know they're trying to, do you talk to anybody? Really? Do you have to talk to anybody? Why would I want to?
You have to talk to somebody, for me personally, because, you know, you get into a situation like this where now it's a business. You can't act like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old and try to run from the situation. It's a business. And you knew this, because the same way you're going to negotiate your contract, the same way they're going to put you into, it's a business, and you can't be mad about it, because you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. You know, you're a commodity. You can get traded. You can get let go, or whatever can happen to you. So just deal with it. Don't run from it. You know, embrace it. Like, yo, you know, my whole thing is, I'm going, yo, man, I'm stepping up. Yo, what you going to do? You keeping me or you trade me? Let's get this out of the way so I can prepare for where I'm going to live, how I'm going to run my life, and what I need to do. And that's what he needs to do. He's just take the bull by the horn, sort of saying, just handling his business. Because he's a, this is the NBA. This is what happens in this league. You, unless you're a freaking megastar, he's not a megastar. He's a star, but he's not a megastar where he can demand what goes on with the team.
Well, the big problem is, you know, Philly wants your firstborn and 40 acres and a mule back for him. They talking about four future first-round picks and
never.
A player.
Never.
Who the hell y'all think never. Ben Simmons is? Michael Jordan?
No, they won't get that. They won't get anything Mm-mm. close to that. I mean, you might get a couple of picks out of it. And player,
and see,
but
and that's my whole point. You asking for everything, and now you're just making the situation even saltier with Ben Simmons. It's going to probably turn into a James Harden thing now. Think about it. James Harden got salty with the Rockets.
The Rockets, yeah.
Comes in the season out of shape. Next thing you know, he gets what he wants, but it put him in a bad situation. So Ben should learn from that. Stay in shape. Protect you, who you are, your body, you, because you're the commodity. Protect yourself in that situation, in that sense, and play hard in the summer. Do what you need to do, be in shape. So when you come, when you move to your next situation, you're ready from jump. And that team is like, damn, I'm glad we gave up the kitchen, you know, the bathroom, the house, everything for you.
Now, they say that the one team that had engaged in trade talks with them was Golden State. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, quote unquote, being and saying, obviously through his agent, that he wouldn't mind being in Golden State. If there's not one team that can't force you to shoot the ball, it's Golden State. If you ain't going to shoot the ball there, you ain't going to shoot the ball
nowhere.
You will
not shoot it anywhere. Yeah.
But my whole thing is, if you send him to Golden State, you know, I know he's a 2.0, you know, Draymond Green. Because think about it. What Ben does is what Draymond kind of does for the Warriors. When the Warriors are healthy, he gets the ball, he pushes it, he kicks it, but he's a better three-point shooter than Ben. So I know it'd be great you have anybody who grabs it, takes off and go, but I know it's about stacking teams nowadays and getting your big three, your big four, whatever it is. So, but you know,
that's the perfect situation though for him.
It's
for
a perfect situation for him, but what are they going to give up for him?
What does Golden State have to work with right now?
Is the other got one. Nothing.
You got nothing to work with.
Somebody's firstborn is going to Philly. You better get used to cold winters in Philly cheesesteaks because somebody's firstborn going.
They're going to have to like freeze Steph Curry's sperm or something and send that off and be like, future children of Steph Curry belong to the Philadelphia 76ers. Bring back Ben Simmons.
Speaking of Steph Curry, the first guy ever to sign 200 plus.
That is wild. So, yeah, Steph Curry got a part of all of what's been going on this week. It almost seems like one of the smaller stories where in a normal week it probably would have dominated the headlines. It's 4-year, $215 million extension for Steph. Guaranteed to make $261 million over the next five seasons.
That's crazy, man.
Wow.
I'm just going to go home and see my mom and like, why didn't you have me 10 years later?
Come on. But I'll tell you what, even that those numbers are mind-boggling. I will argue that Steph Curry is worth every single dollar of that contract.
Yes. You know,
he changes games and he is a revolutionary, generational player amongst a league full of, and we talked about Westbrook, we talked about LeBron. Steph Curry just changes the whole way a game runs. He really does. He is that kind of a player, and I love to watch him play basketball. He is a great player to watch.
He's phenomenal, man. You know, he should have been MVP last season, the way he played, the way he's putting them down, the way he's shooting it, the way his body looks. If any time when a guy gets injured and you come back looking better than when you left, he is a true poster boy for that because he got injured, came back, body looked good, jumper look better. And it's just crazy how some guys, they go in that lab and they improve themselves. And you look at Steph, like, how can you, you know, improve on perfection? He did it. He went and came out, expanded his game. You always look at guys when they come back and they say, oh, damn, they got better. And you look at Steph like, how the hell could you get better? But he did. He got better. So he is one of those guys you want to say, okay, I want to see what you do in the off season, how you work out. Because every time I look at the dude, he on the damn golf course. How the hell does he get better?
Because you notice, you may not have been as agile and you know, handled the ball like him, but you know this as a shooter. When you can shoot the rock, that's the last thing that leaves. Your legs will leave you, your body will leave you. But when you have the stroke of the shot, come on now.
No doubt.
And that's the thing. Look, the 200 and what did it say, 15? Yeah. It's not big headlines because it's not. We know this. Like, Steph Curry is a proven commodity. It's like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. It is kind of what it is now. So we know what he is. We know what he brings to the table. We know what he did last year without Klay. Matter of fact, we ain't seen Klay in two seasons. We don't know what he looked like. So
He was in Space Jam. So that counts.
Right.
Maybe.
But, you know, hey, he got the bag. This is generational wealth.
Yes.
That's all this is.
Yes.
Generational wealth.
Multi-generational.
Yes.
And the one thing none of us mentioned in regards to Steph Curry, everything we just talked about, he does with a smile on his face. He does it with just joy and fun. And it is so rare to see Steph Curry get angry or kick a chair or say mouth off to a reporter. That kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Or throw his mouthpiece.
Yeah, well, that way, yeah. He'll just gnaw on that damn thing till he chews it in half, though. But, you know. But
that was funny when you see him get upset and he threw his mouthpiece. I was like, oh, did he just throw his mouthpiece? That ain't Steph. That's not the Steph we know. But that lets you know the passion. When it comes playoff time, you don't know what might come out of the guy. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about, we talked about every team needing their big three now. I don't know if you can really count this as a big three, but the Chicago Bulls make the move. They get DeMar DeRozan on a 3-year deal. They get Lonzo Ball from the Pelicans on a 4-year deal. And the bald Mamba Alex Caruso lands in Chicago as well. So the Bulls are looking at DeRozan, Lonzo, and Caruso as their centerpiece.
Yeah. When I say this, I'm not saying they are the same. I'm just comparing what it's like. You remember about 8 years ago when Isaiah Thomas had the bright idea, I'm going to get all these guards to come to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And the Knicks flat out sucked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I look at Chicago and I'm like, well, damn, what you going to do with all these guards, man? I know you got one of the best big men in the game now, but Vucevic, but just what are you doing with all these guards, man? Zach Levine's gonna look at you like, dude, why do I need these guards for? Because Zach Levine and DeMar DeRozan are kind of the same players. What do I need him for? You know, give me a freaking three, man, a stretch guy I can penetrate and kick. You know, I look at the organization, I'm like, well, damn, you made some good pieces, but they all the same damn piece.
Yeah, they're super talented, but. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of mid-range jumpers on this squad because DeMar DeRozan is the mid-range. He is the mid-range killer from anywhere from 15 to 18 feet. Oh, you good? But with all these guys, man, you know. But look, they're good enough to where they'll be a playoff team. They'll be good enough to sit somewhere in that five to six range to get into the playoffs. And you know, now. It's something for you. It's noise being brought back to the city of Chicago. You know, folk ain't thought about Chicago since Mike left. Derrick Rose. MVP Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
My bad, MVP.
It's
going to be interesting that, you know, and you think about the guy that was big, was it Markin? Yeah. He's one of those guys that's probably going to be the spot at three. But now I'm saying you this is a guy that you're trying to develop. And now all I see is DeMar DeRozan taking his minutes. All I see is, you know, Zach LaVine taking his minutes. Now, because you can't move him to the four. Well, I mean, to the five. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard for guys you're trying to develop to get in. You know, this is where you just start getting your confidence. All of a sudden, now you got to take not a backseat to this guy, but a backseat to this guy and a backseat to another guy. So this team is going to be interesting watching, you know, new coach, new players. But still, though, you know, they still got to get the ball to Vucevic because he's too much of a talent not to use.
Well, you talk about Lauri Markkanen, he may not even be there. He's about to end up signing an offer sheet with Charlotte.
I thought he was going to come back. See, this is too much. It's too much shit to be happening in free agency.
It really
man.
Is. It's too much.
He said he can't.
See, I heard he was signing back with them now. Oh, Lord. So
I'm just saying, you know, he could end up signing. I'm not saying he couldn't be back, but it looks like he could be a Charlotte Hornet if he signs the offer sheet and the Bulls don't want to match it.
Well, the Bulls done spent all their money. Shit, they paid DeRozan. They paid Caruso.
They played Ball.
They paid freaking Lonzo. I mean, you know.
Hold on, Big Shot. As a Laker guy and me being one as well, you know, Alex Caruso, you got to salute to everything he did, what he did for the Lakers. He provided solid defense. But I'm hearing a lot of Laker fans They are. I've seen Laker fans in tears
over Alex Caruso.
Over Alex Caruso, and I'm not knocking the man. He did a lot of good things. I think he played very hard, but I am not shedding a tear over Alex Caruso. I salute him. We're, you know, Laker Nation is gonna miss him, but I ain't. You ain't gonna see me cry no river.
But you know, they always want that guy they can relate to, that hard worker who came through, you know, the bottom to get to the top. And I think that's what people love about him and respect about him, because he wasn't a draft pick. You know, he had to work his way through the G League and come up to the Lakers and, you know, became a good second piece of LeBron. So I think they missed that part of him. But, you know, he started getting hurt down the stretch. He didn't show up in the playoffs, the things that we were used to him doing. And you know how this game is. This game, like, what have you done for me lately?
Very much so.
What do you do in the playoffs? And that's what hurt him, and that's what's really hurting Dennis Schroeder right now.
Oh, Lord, let's not even talk about him. Mr. going to miss out completely. Now you're looking back, hindsight is 2020. Whatever potential offer was on that table that the Lakers offered you during the season kind of looked kind of good based off what you're not getting right now.
Ain't that the truth?
Especially when you're watching all the money get signed away to everybody.
And that well drying up, boy.
Yeah, it is.
And the crazy part is now you can't really do a sign and trade either, because there's nothing that anybody wants.
And nobody's got any money. Yeah. Nobody's got any damn money.
Well, he has to sign first. The Lakers can't even get him to sign.
Right now, the Lakers are like, uh-huh, you got nowhere to go, huh? You're going to get 1 year deal.
Yeah, you are. Hey, your ass a little minimum.
This DeMar DeRozan, look, I want to talk about the 385. I'm all for players getting their bag. Get your money. Yeah. But at one point in time, he was talking about, you know, hometown kid, I'll be willing to take a pay cut, and everybody from who's born in L.A. would love to play for the Lakers. 385 don't seem like a pay cut to me. That's almost 28 per.
You know, let's be real. You know, guys will say that to save face, but we all know he wasn't going to pass up that money. He could have came to the Lakers for, I think, like 11 or 13 mil, you know, and that's half. You know, you're taking half, you know. No, he's not going to do that.
You can get paid.
First of all, you know, you're not going to take about it, because those are opportunities that's not going to come back. You know, he can go do his 3 year deal and says, okay, this is me. If I'm DeMar DeRozan, I'm saying, okay, I can get paid 3 years from Chicago. Okay, I got 3 years. Maybe while I'm there, I can work out a trade and get there, because think about this. He's still young and AD's going to be there for a while. Mm-hmm. He says, okay, LeBron, when you ease out, I can ease in. And so he's probably saying, I still have some time left to play for my hometown and try to win a ring. You know, I guarantee that. I won't say I'm a guarantee, but for me, that's how I'll be playing it, because I'm all about trying to get my money. Even though he hasn't won his championship yet, but you can't pass up on sometimes when you think about it, 13 million, 26 million, you know, you double up.
Speaking of people getting paid, you had your comments before we even started the show today about somebody's team, specifically. In this room.
Generational wealth.
Not adding enough pieces, but I'll tell you what, man. Hawks came out of pocket. They paid their guys. They made sure, what was Trey's deal? It was like 207. Or, yeah, 5 years, 207 for Trey. Collins gets the 5-year $125 extension.
I know we were going there. I thought we was talking about another superstar who got the bag.
Who's that?
CP3.
Oh, you were talking about Chris Paul.
Yeah. Generational wealth.
I thought he was taking shots at you over the Hawks.
No, I was talking about the Hawks.
Yeah, he was taking Hawks shots. He goes, because you can pay your guys, you ain't add nobody. I mean, Will's back.
Add nobody.
Will is back, but you
think about it, this Hawks team is a young team. They're going to be good. They can stay together.
Right.
But, you know, it's all about now, man. You got to win now. Because think about it. You know, they need some other pieces, because what they have now, I know that, look what we did with MB. Look what we did. No, dog, You know, it ain't going to happen again. You need to add something, man.
But then my next question is, what would you add that would make them, you know, go over the top? Because what's available?
DeMar DeRozan. I would have went after DeMar DeRozan.
Not for 3 for $85?
Dude,
not when you got to pay Trey and Collins.
Hey, you just can't sit here and say, okay, I want to play my young guy. You got to get somebody, man, to give you some kind of veteran leadership. You look down that line, who's your veteran leadership, man?
Well, I mean, they had guys. Lou Will is back. You still have Bogey. You still have Danilo Gallinari. Mm-hmm. You still have your guys. Here's the thing. The Hawks have what a lot of other teams wish they had, a lot of manageable tradable, if need be, contracts. Let's say in another year you want to trade Bogey. It's $18 million. You can get that off your books. You have let's say John 5-125. When his deal is up, he'll be 26, 27?
26 or 27, yeah.
You're telling me, what, $25 million per for a 26, 27-year-old is manageable. It's tradable. I have tradable contracts on my books. The Knicks wish they had tradable. They got Evan Fournier for 4 years, 78. How the hell Evan Fournier worth 4 years, 78 million? On what planet? It's definitely not the U.S. Might be in France, but not here.
No, they got Kemba. They're good. The Knicks are good. They got Kemba now. Kemba, so they're set. No, they're good.
They're trying to get Kemba what he – look.
Crown the Knicks. The
Madison Square want Kemba to be what he was when he was at UConn when he crossed Buddy up and hit that game-winning shot.
Right.
That ain't – I like Kemba, but Kemba got knee issues too.
Knicks fans, man, didn't make any moves except Kemba, and they were
That's for y'all Knicks fans who want to run y'all mouth, thinking, oh, we got somebody. You just paid Julius Randle, who's a third. I love Julius Randle. I do. Very improved. But he's a third option at best, too. And you gave him a nice little piece of change. Get your money, big fella.
He's all-star, man. Get off my man Julius Randle. He's an all-star.
So am I. Ain't nobody offering me 117 or 140.
No.
Man, being an all-star at the, you know, Hot Wings place don't count, man. That don't count. You got to be an all-star.
Oh, shit, it does. No. Don't you do that.
You got to be an all-star on the court, man. Sideline, baseline.
Look, our guys will be healthy. They'll be back. And guess what? The Hawks going to show the world that this past season wasn't a fluke.
You know what, though, is what I'm excited about? This is going to be a really good season coming up.
Yeah.
You know, if COVID doesn't derail this season,
it's going to be
and
fun.
Fans can still come back, because there's a lot of so many different stories, so many different scenarios.
The whole league got shaken up this week. It really did.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I cannot remember a free agency as wild as this past week was.
It's been fun. You know, a lot of guys have gotten paid. And, you know, I have to say this, you know, I have love for the Houston Rockets, but they just make me want to shed a tear. You know, they got some good draft picks, but damn, did y'all even know free agency was going on? I'm like, seriously?
No.
They got nothing, man.
I've read a million NBA articles this week. I have not seen the Rockets name once.
Nobody. It's like you think about it, it's like the Rockets. Okay, you got a great city to live in. Economy is great. Up and rising head coach,
no
great
state tax.
Freaking owner. I wasn't even gonna go there. You know me and my state tax.
I know you love it.
But it's like, dude, someone that can represent you to go out there and get guys to come there. Why? Why don't you get guys to come to your team? Who is doing your recruiting? Who is trying to? You know, come on, man. It's just, you know, you have love. Like I have love for the Lakers. I have love for the Rockets. Teams I won championships. Don't just sit there and be passive, man. Do something.
Ain't nobody going there, bro. You done gave that whole spiel. That you done cried a river. I saw the tear fall down from your eye. Ain't nobody going there. Save it.
It's just, it hurts my heart.
I know it does.
It's all right.
I know it does.
Hearts can be put back together.
They can heal.
It'll be okay.
They can heal.
But just go ahead and save it. Ain't nobody going there.
Things that cannot heal, age, because Chris, we were going to circle back to Chris Paul. We talked about generational wealth. Everybody on this show, all three of us, man, if Chris would have gotten there this year, he would have hung it up. Maybe he's got another season in him at best. Oh, let's hope.
He'd have gone to New York.
Let's see if he comes back for one more year. Chris Paul signs a 4-year deal worth up to as much as $120 million with incentives.
Get your paper.
My goodness. Can Chris Paul play for 4 more years?
No. He can play. But you know, the thing is, he can play. The point guard position doesn't have a lot of stress on it. And the way he plays, you know, he can play for about 3 or 4 more years, you know, if he don't get hurt. But I look at that contract, and I think he did it in order to try to get somebody else or open up some more space for the Suns, because, of course, we forget that he just passed up $44 million. He was supposed to make $44 million next season. So he's taking less money next season. And I know he says, okay, you're helping us out with salary cap. We're going to extend you. So I think they're going to do one of those things after the first 2 years. If they don't win it, then they buy him out, says, bye, go win your championship, because, you know, do your thing. There's some kind of other language that's going on that we don't know about.
Yeah, but look, I didn't I didn't see that. I didn't see 120 coming.
No, I didn't see 4 years coming.
And that's the thing.
I thought it was going to be a 1 or 2 year deal at best.
Hey, look, they know something we don't, and I don't know if they believe that Chris will finish out their 4 year contract. We don't know if Chris thinks he's going to finish out. Figuring that out. Yeah.
Chris is 36. So when did you know, like, what? I don't know if you, we talked about this. How old were you when your body just said, hey, basketball's done?
That was 36.
Fun. About 36. Okay.
36. When my next to last season. I know. I remember after winning the championship in 2007, and I was like, man, I can't do this no more. I can't. I went to my trainer. We were training. He looked at me like, dude, are you going to work out? I said, man, I ain't got it. I just don't have it. I can't throw up this weight no more. I can't run these sprints anymore. I said, my body said, man, you out your damn mind. And I remember going into the training camp, and it was the first time ever that I didn't play any ball in the summer. I didn't do no pickup games. I did nothing. I went in the gym. I shot. Yeah. I got on the treadmill. I did track work, but I didn't play any basketball. And I remember getting to training camp. I'm like looking around like, I don't even fucking feel like being out here. I'm like, but then all of a sudden, you know, a guy hits a jump in your face. Guy blows by you. The competitive nature coming. Then you start picking it back up. But I knew after that one summer in 2000, I said, man, I ain't got the energy.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris Paul's got 4 years to figure it out at 36.
But his thing is, though, if I was making $30 million, I'd have had all kinds of fucking energy. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah.
I'd have found it. I'd have found the desire.
I'd have found
the
that.
The Lord has driven me to learn to compete
found
again.
I found the youth, and I'm back out there, baby. Because I remember, you know, I it was this funny thing. I used to work out with Moses Long, you know, God rest his. Moses was like, you know, man, I don't care about nothing but that money, man. It drives me. Every time I do a sit-up, $1 million. $2 million. Big Mo is funny, right? And you know, and as a player, you know, you have to think about these things. You know, working on your body, get better. What drives you? You drive you to be the best player you can be, trying to get your family set up for life. And that's what you had to do. But sometimes it's hard, even though you say, like, okay, I can make all these millions and dollars for my family, but hey, I want to be able to walk with my grandkids when I get older. And that's the key to it, too.
Yeah.
Tough decision, man.
It is. Yeah. And, I mean, what we always joke, Father Time's undefeated. Mm-hmm. You know, he catches up with you. And we see it now. I mean, and you look, and obviously we haven't spent a ton of time together one-on-one, but, like, you don't look like you struggle too hard. You don't look like you struggle moving. We spent a lot
right
of time.
Now.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time around Shaquille, who is younger than you, who struggles. I mean, Shaq's body is he beat his body up. You know, his feet are bad, his knees are bad, his hips are bad. It's like, and he moves slow, you know, and he ain't that old, and he moves slow.
But you also have, that's a lot more weight than I have.
That's true.
A bigger man. So I look at a lot of players, former players, and you watch them move. You can see what hurts, like the hips, the knees, the ankles. And for me right now, I don't have any problems right now. I have, you know, knees hurt every now and then, but. Yeah, I'm good, but I know what I wanted to talk to you about, B.
What's up? Oh.
You know, we talk about veteran leadership, and you guys, meaning the Hawks, you know who you should bring back? Paul Millsap. Yeah.
I've heard that name. Yeah.
I think he'd be a great addition because he's, you know, getting about 10 or 12 minutes a game and playing.
Where is he? Yeah. Where is he right now?
He was in Denver.
He's a free agent. He was in Denver. Yeah. But he kind of got pushed to the wayside when they brought in a young fella from Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah. And then with the emergence of Michael Porter Jr., you know, that kind of, you kind of take those minutes away.
Another magical 36-year-old.
Yeah, I think, you know, that'd be a good addition for you because he's a great locker room guy.
He was great when we had him here for years. He was really good. He was outstanding.
It just dawned on me. That's who y'all should bring back, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at it because most of the team is still a young team.
Yeah.
So having that sprinkle of 34, 35, 36, they're only playing certain minutes and kind of help to guide these guys. There's no problem with that.
You better hurry up before the Lakers get him because you know he's above 30 and that's what they're getting.
When he's 36, he's a shoe-in for the Lakers. They got soft jello and a nice comfortable seat waiting for him, man. He's done.
Everybody, look, you ever know like when old people, you know, sit down, you know, they probably ain't been walking but for so long. You may have been walking for 5 minutes. But every time they sit down on the couch or sit down in a chair.
They do what I do now.
Oh, thank you, Lord. It's like they went through this journey just to stand up and sit down. They got to thank God every time they get up and sit down.
Hey, it's like that commercial. No fussing, no cuss. Do we really need that? He throws it in the trash can.
So we can't teach you to be your parents. And
yeah.
We're gonna open a PDF. Who's next? You know? Yeah.
What's the drink of choice in the locker room? Prune juice.
Prune juice. My Lanta.
Oh, that's going to be great,
get the little
man.
Depends patch on the jersey.
Hey,
When we
look at this, and this is the crazy difference between the NBA and life. In life, there's some young – all those dudes are still very young.
Oh, they're younger than all of us. Yeah.
Right, yes.
Exactly.
You're younger.
Okay, yeah.
Hold on.
We're the old folks. Sorry.
Watch yourself. I still got some ways to catch up to y'all.
You got to rub it in, dog.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's just the reality. You know, my knees – I don't need WD-40 for my knees when I wake up. Not yet.
But I do the same thing you just discussed, though. Every time I sit down, my wife's like, you go, ooh. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting old. Shit. Nothing works anymore, man.
But in basketball years, they're dinosaurs. Like, LeBron is a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Because not only because of his age, but he's played more minutes than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He plays a lot of minutes.
And doesn't want to time off, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Yeah,
you got
to take some downtime. The only team we haven't talked about yet that I had on my sheet that I thought was kind of made some moves was the Miami Heat. Just because of the Kyle Lowry deal. They moved Dragic for Lowry, sign and trade. They signed Markieff Morris to a one-year deal, and they're getting close, I think. I don't think it's done yet, but they're getting real close on Jimmy Butler. The rumor is 5 years, $182.
Oh, yeah, I think it's about done.
On Jimmy, I think that's probably going to get done. But what does Kyle Lowry to the Heat do for you? Anything?
For me, I'm not excited about that because how old is Kyle Lowry?
35.
Oh, dang, see, 35. See, that really doesn't excite me. No.
Another magic. Yeah, and then
no disrespect, dude. For me, if you ask me, would you ever have Kyle Lowry or Dragic? I'm taking Dragic. The youth, you know, and the way he can move and stuff. I know what defensive thing. I'm like, dude, he played well enough to get them to the NBA finals in the bubble.
Yeah.
So you know he can play defense. So I just, you know, I'm just going for the youth movement and I always want to think of the, you know, a log average. I'm like, Kyle Lowry's 35. He hasn't had that many injuries throughout his career. He just got hurt. And I'm just seeing, that is a sign that you're getting old. All of a sudden, you don't get hurt all through your career. And all of a sudden, at the end of your career, you start getting little injuries that should take a week to be out. It takes 2 months to be out. So I don't take that.
You know, Dragic is 35 too.
Is he?
Yes. He turned 35 in May. Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Why was I thinking he was a lot younger than that?
No, and he
I was thinking he, I was thinking he was 30.
No, he had 5.
Oh. Okay, never
Damn.
Mind then. Never
I
mind.
I did not realize that. I didn't even know that.
And here's the thing about Kyle, like Gorgon, you know, he's had, not only is he 35, but he's had knee problems. He's had foot problems. You know, Kyle hadn't necessarily, well, he's had some injuries, but I don't know if it's ever to that degree. But that's why I never wanted Kyle in L.A., you know, for the number that he was wanting for his age. You know, you're 35 years old. Yeah. If your first name ain't LeBron, last name James, you're not the transcending generational talent for somebody to say, you know what, at 34 – we can offer him this money because it's worth it because we think he can change our franchise. He's not changing your franchise.
No.
See, I just knew the Lakers would do a package. You could get him and DeMar because they're best friends or whatnot, but that didn't happen. So
No, not at all. Y'all signed LARP instead. Y'all got a 37-year-old, a 36-year-old, and a couple more 36-year-olds, and another 36-year-old.
Y'all watch. Like, look. Not just LeBron, but every other guy on that squad is hearing what everybody else is saying. And look, they may have to take a couple extra ice baths, but
they're not hearing it that well.
But they gonna ball out. They gonna ball. Just watch.
I know. All right. Well, that's as much of the week as I could fit literally into a show. I didn't like there was. You can get into all the little minutiae of some other stuff, but those were the big ones.
And hey, when you say they're gonna ball, they're gonna ball till they fall. That's the first time. That's
quite
true.
Literally.
They're gonna have to ball.
Let's just hope they don't fall before All-Star break.
Yeah.
Very quickly, we're going to change gears for the big shot of the week. Now, normally for the big shot of the week, I give something that's very grounded and heartfelt and that sort of thing. This one's a little bit more fun just because it made me laugh. Big shot of the week goes to Washington Nationals center fielder Victor Robles. For one simple reason, he is fun on the field, and he played an entire inning the other night with a praying mantis on his hat. Have you seen the pictures of the praying mantis on Victor Robles' hat?
Yeah.
They saw it.
Did he know this?
Oh, yeah, he knew it. They saw it in the dugout. It was on his hat, so he let it stay on his hat. Well, then dude runs out to center field. Praying mantis stays up on his hat, and he plays the entire inning in center field with this giant green praying mantis just chilling on his hat. At one point, he checks the outfield, one out, and he looks up at his hat, one out. Let's the mantis know. He got one out in the inning.
He tells
the bug, halfway through the inning, one out, buddy. Just to let you know up there. So,
just hanging it.
You know what? The Nationals are a team right now. They're losing in their division. They just lost Max Scherzer, Trey Turner to the Dodgers. They are probably going to...
What were they thinking?
I don't know. Both of those guys to the Dodgers. But they're going to come apart at the seams, I feel like, down the stretch here. And Washington's not in a great spot. And now here's at least a kid on the team having fun. Like, having a good time, trying to find a way to make the best of it. So that's my big shot of the week. Have fun even when adversity kicks you in the face.
Hey, you know what?
Or put a praying mantis on it.
You plan a game that you love. And I know it's a business, but you go out there and you keep playing hard. This is why you play this game, for the fun and love of it. You have to, you know, take your hat off to him, as long as they ain't got a praying mantis sitting on it waiting there to give you a high five. But it's great, because I know for me, it's hard. When you go from, you know, being a championship caliber team, and all of a sudden now you, you know, you're doing a firehouse sale, and it's hard on guys, but
demotivating.
Think about
really.
It. You got rid of this Cy Young, and you sent him to the freaking Dodgers, who just won a championship.
Dodgers.
What were you thinking? You're like, the GMs or the owners must be boys. Like, you know what? I help you out here. Go and win you two back-to-back championships.
How much money do the Dodgers have? You live, what, like 10 minutes from Dodger Stadium? Can you drive down there, have a conversation with Magic, find out what the hell's going on? They have more money to spend than any professional team I've ever seen. The Cowboys and the Dodgers and the Lakers can just spend money like it's nobody's business.
Hold on. You're going to add a new team to that. Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, when they signed their big three. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they spent up. They spent, but that's not like a tradition. The Cowboys, the Dodgers, and the Lakers have this tradition of just, we spend money. That's what we do. We just spend money. Yeah. The Dodgers, specifically.
Well, it's L.A. They like, you know, L.A., damn. They like the allure. They like sexy, so they don't care about spending it, and they don't care about going over the tax, because, you know, they'll pay it.
They're going to get it back. They're going to get it back somewhere with a championship.
Yeah, they'll pay it.
All right. Well, that was a fun show this week. You need to go stretch, because... the Lakers may have a bag for you, so I'm just saying, just get loose.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
I'm going back to yoga. Hey, you know, COVID messed my shot up. It wasn't no COVID. I could probably be, you know, in a gym doing yoga, getting ready. Man, now I got to just sit here and sit on the couch and say, what if?
Yeah, same thing happened to me, man. COVID just screwed my whole game plan up.
Yeah, let me find out they call you and give you and offer you something.
I'm gonna tell them
we're gonna call
77-year-old Robert Horry.
We calling every ambulance of every hospital in the LA area. Say stand by, because not only will a lot of these other guys need one, but one Robert Horry gonna definitely need one. He gonna need one.
Hey, it's called efficiency of movement.
If you
knew about me, I'm not gonna do anything I don't have to do to hurt myself. But I will do enough to win.
this is how it's going to go. Da-na-na, breaking news coming across the desk. Lakers forward Robert Horry has pulled his hamstring getting out of bed. He will be getting an x-ray. He will be out indefinitely. Season ain't even started yet.
let's be honest. Hey, I'm not even going to get out of bed, so I'm not even going to pull anything. I think you do one workout.
I'm telling you what.
And you're going to be not moving.
If he's pulling a hamstring, he's doing it moving a couch, moving into his new house. And then that's it. He's off the roster at that point.
See?
We're done. See? Yeah, if I hit a game winner, I get an extra Jello. You know.
Hey, I helped my wife's mom move some furniture in her house the other day. We had to take this shit upstairs.
You had her mom moving furniture?
No, help her mom. Mom to move. She was, you know, and I'm like, her son and I was moving this dresser upstairs. I'm looking at myself. I said, this shit right here, that's why I pay motherfuckers to do this shit heavy, man. I don't do this shit no more. I take one fucking thing upstairs. I'm like, yeah. Oh, shit, that's heavy. I went and sat my ass on the couch and got two waters. And one trip up the
I'm
stairs.
A professional athlete. Hold on a minute.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!